something so powerful. You know, it's interesting, the Greek word for the gospel is euangelito, which literally means to bring good news, to announce glad tidings. That's where we get the concept of the good news from. It's actually not said like that in the gospel in English. We have the word the gospel, which literally means good tidings, good news. And that is what the gospel is. It is good news. It's glad tidings. It is an amazing revelation of eternal significance that has the power to change people forever. There's two distinct aspects to this word, the gospel, the good news. It's good news. And it's so interesting to think about that, because the gospel is literally good news. Two distinct aspects of it. The one we find good, you know, even the Greek word, you know, gospel is two Greek words. And the first one is you, which means good. It means to be well off or to prosper. You know, in English, good means a lot of things. You know, it's giving pleasure, enjoyable, satisfying, wholesome. But the reality is, the gospel is good news. It's not bad news. It's good news. I mean, we read in Romans 10, verse 15, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who brings glad tidings of good things. The gospel is good news. It's not bad news. It's good news, as opposed to bad news. I don't know if you've ever received bad news. Anybody? I mean, who of you have ever been in a position where you had to convey bad news? I mean, have you ever been in a position where somebody died and you were the one who had to bring that news to a loved one? You know, if you're the conveyor of bad news, there's a reluctancy, a hesitation in you. Because you have to convey something that is not exciting or good, but bad and sad. And there's a reluctance, there's this heaviness in one, there's this desire to get out of the position of bearing this news. There's looking for somebody else to convey that news. It's not like good news, like when a child is born and you run out of the door and you say, it's a boy, with his excitement and joy and an urgency to convey it. That's good news. But I sense there are so many Christians that have the gospel as if it is bad news. There's a hesitation, a reluctancy to share the news. And yet, the gospel in itself makes it so clear that it is good news. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son so that you may have life. Life in abundance, life that overflows, life that cannot be measured, life that cannot be contained. Not just now, but for eternity. That you can be restored to God who loves you. And you can have everlasting life. Confidence and peace that there is a God that not just knows you but loves you. That is great news. In a world that is full of sin, full of death and sickness and disease and destruction and is losing hope. That is very exciting news. It's not bad news. Why is that? As Christians, so many of us have a hesitation and a reluctance to share good news. There's a second aspect to the word gospel, and that is news. The fact that it is not just good, but it's actually news. In other words, it's something different. That's what news is. It's something that happened. You know, the world used to go in a particular way, doing things in a particular way, and then something happened. I mean, we were doing things, and we were going in a particular direction, and that direction led to death. And there was no hope, because there was sickness and destruction and disease and hatred and war and divorce and brokenness and depression. And then something happened that changed. There's something different. You know, if everything happens the same way day after day after day, imagine nothing ever happened. It would never be news. What is news? News is that there is something different. Something changed. I mean, I'm a news fanatic. I watch the news every day, in the morning and in the evening, and when we had TV in the afternoon as well. My wife was so irritated because whenever I sat down, I switched to CNN and then to Sky and then to BBC and then to Al Jazeera and then to whatever channel I could find. I want to know, what is different in the world? What has changed? And how is that change going to affect my life and the lives of others? I still love it. Now I go on my iPhone and I read the news. I don't watch it anymore. But I constantly want to know what is different. And not just what is different, how is it going to affect people? How is it going to affect me? The gospel is good news. There is something different that has the effect of changing people, nations, individuals. Gospel is good news. News is something that people want to hear. They want to know what is different. Do you realize that you are news? Because you have changed. Your eternal zip code has changed. You have met the living God. I mean, in this world, there is such a search. You know, that is so powerful. Within humanity, there is such a drawing to know and to believe that there is something greater than us. Even those who are afraid to acknowledge that something greater as God, they'll be searching for life outside of Earth. I mean, they spend billions sending robots to a little red planet to find life. And last week they discovered sharks. You know? Chances of life on Mars, all right, it's official, it's not there. Finally, they discovered some of the gases that's necessary to sustain life is not present. It was never present. So there is no life. But there is such a search for finding the answers to why and how we are here. You know what? The gospel declares it. It's news. You have met God. You've experienced something of Him. That is good news. In Bible school last week, I asked a question, which I would like to ask you, and I want you to think about it. I want you to close your eyes just for a moment and think about this. How did the gospel change your life? Just while your eyes are closed, how did meeting Jesus change your life? If you think back at how was your life before you accepted the gospel, and what has changed? Now, while you're thinking about that, I want you to think of just one significant thing that changed in your life. Just one thing. And now I want you to do something powerful with that one thing. And there'll probably be many, but I just want you to think about one thing. And I want you to do something very powerful with that one thing. I want you to turn to the person next to you and tell him. Can you do that? Just share with the person. I know it's something intimate, but it's something so powerful, and I want you to practice. I'm making it practically. I want you to share that one thing that is so significant. Just share it with somebody. Verbalize it with somebody next to you. And if we had time, I would ask you to share it with somebody. Let's do that. In front or behind you. Can you do that? The same thing. Just quickly. 2 minutes. Somebody in front or behind you. That one thing. Somebody else. Share it with somebody else. And you know, if we had enough time, I would ask you to go share it with another person. But if you've been doing this, I'm sure you would have noticed something. The first time it was difficult. Was it? Awkward a little bit. Did any of you feel a little bit, you know, awkward? Okay. But when you shared it a second time, did it feel a little bit better, easier? And I'm sure if you did it the fourth or the fifth or the sixth time today, it would have been even easier. But that's not the most significant thing. You know what is the most significant thing? That what you have shared and that what you've probably heard, I can guarantee you that what you have heard are the things that this world so desperately needs. So desperately. That what you have shared, I can guarantee you, is what this world so desperately, that woman, so desperately needs. To be forgiven. To be set free. To be restored. To be healed. To have peace. To be rid of fear, to be accepted, to be loved, to know, to have hope. That is what this world so desperately needs. And you have the answer. You have the way within you. You have discovered something the world out there so desperately needs. It's called good news. It's called good news. We have been approved and entrusted with the gospel. That leads to everything that this world so desperately needs.
It is that gospel, that good news, that
saved us. Our acceptance, our faith into this gospel. This invitation of God through His Son towards us that has given us life. That has given us eternal peace and relationship with God. That's why Paul says in Romans 1 verse 16, verse 17, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Isn't that powerful? Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Because it is the power of God that leads unto salvation whosoever believes in it." The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. I want to say it again. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. God in His wisdom has chosen the gospel to be the vehicle of salvation. Not a holy place, not a rock, not a building, not a person, except His Son. But it is not a government. It is not an institution. It is not a location. It is not secret knowledge. It's not dominion. It's not authority. It's not war. It's not conquer. But it is the gospel, which is the power of God. It is the gospel that is the vehicle unto salvation. The good news of what God has done through His Son, that is the vehicle unto salvation. God in His wisdom chose the gospel to be the vehicle. Not a place, not an angel, not a revelation, not secret knowledge, but the gospel. Dare I say, the foolishness. The preaching of the gospel. The sharing of the good news. Your testimony. God has approved you and found you trustworthy for the gospel. It's not a temple or building, a special place, a secret knowledge, miracles, powers, dominion, war, or government, but the sharing of the gospel. That is the power of God unto salvation. I have to declare it over and over and over again because we as Christians need to hear these words from Paul and from God speaking through Paul. That we should not be ashamed. Why are we ashamed? Because we're afraid. I believe that so many Christians are afraid that the gospel is going to be rejected. It's not going to be received. The world is going to think it's foolishness. And therefore we are ashamed of sharing it. So many Christians in the world out there are ashamed, are afraid to say, "I know God. I am a Christian." Because we are afraid it doesn't work. We're afraid we will be rejected. You know, Jesus said something powerful. He says, "Whoever receives you, receives me. And whoever rejects you, rejects me. And who rejects me, rejects the one who sent me." So no, they're not rejecting you. But yet, we are afraid of that. It is the sharing of the gospel, the good news, that is the power of God. And you know what? This news is meant to be shared. That's why it's called the gospel. It's meant to be shared. It's not just something that we receive for ourselves. This path to salvation. It's not just something that we hold to ourselves and we sit on a chair and we have people coming to us to try and figure it out. How did you get it? That's why it's called the gospel, good news. It's not a secret knowledge that I keep to myself and elevate myself above others and them trying to figure it out, to follow me and to look at me and to... No, it's called the gospel. It's called good news.
I mean, the root word is so powerful, the two words, the one good and the second one in Greek is angelos.
You angelos. You know what angelos means?
It means messenger, envoy, one who is sent, a messenger from God.
It's where we get the word from angel. The gospel is euangelisto, means good messenger. Everything about it communicates something that you have been approved and entrusted to be an angelos. You have been approved and entrusted to be an angelos. An angel. A messenger.
Somebody that brings good news. Somebody that has been sent with a message from God.
That's who you are. This good news is meant to be shared. That is His purpose.
In 2 Corinthians 5 verse 18 we read, "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled Himself, or reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ,
and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." Isn't that powerful? God, all things as He's, and He has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and then He's given us that ministry of reconciliation.
That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us
the word, the message of reconciliation.
And then it goes on and it says so powerful, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ," His representation on earth,
His mouthpiece, "as though God were pleading through us.
We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God."
Do you see the gospel? You have been approved. And you have been entrusted with a message that is meant to be shared. The good news to this world.
Another reason we are hesitant to share, I believe, is because we fear that the world will see the gospel as foolishness and we are ashamed out of fear.
Hence Paul Strong's exhortation saying, "I am not ashamed of the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God." And I think it is something that we need to remind ourselves over and over. Paul in his letter to the Corinthians gives the same encouragement. Here in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18 it says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God." Isn't that powerful?
"It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe."
It is not through wisdom and through intellectual assent, but through this message.
"For the Jews request a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom, But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. Foolishness to those who are perishing, but salvation to those who believe. And it is not only good news. And that is what Paul is saying. He says there is power, an unseen power that accompanies this gospel. Whenever you share it, it's not just a story. It's not just a testimony of what happened to your life, as much as it is about what God has done. And God says in His Word that there is power in us communicating the gospel. An unseen power that accompanies every single time you share your testimony of what God has done in your life. There is an unseen power that accompanies that message. Whenever you speak about Christ and His death and His resurrection and God's love, there is an unseen power that accompanies that message that has the power to change people for eternity. And it's not just a power that accompanies the message. There is a power that accompanies the messenger. I want to declare to you that if you share the gospel, there is not just power in that gospel to save. It is not something that forces people to accept it. It gives them the opportunity to, but in that choice, it has the power to change them for eternity, to become a new creation in Christ Jesus, the miracle of the new birth. There is power in it, but there is also power that accompanies the messenger. And that's the Great Commission, remember? In Matthew 28, where Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always. There is not just a power that accompanies the message, there is a power that accompanies the messenger. When you become an angelos with good news in a broken world, not everybody is going to receive that good news. Not everybody is going to receive it. I mean, that's the parable of the sower. Jesus says the kingdom of God is like a sower that went out to sow. We know the story so well. And you know what? That sower sowed the seed. What was the seed? The gospel. It's the word. Must we read it? You still remember the story? It was the gospel. That was the seed. And he went to sow it. Where did he sow? Everywhere. He didn't just sow on good soil. As a matter of fact, it's not because he was stupid. I mean, I would have thought if I only had so much seed, I will only sow it to where there's good soil. But that's not what the sower did. He sowed it everywhere. His return was only 25%. Because some fell on the wayside, some fell among the rocks, some fell among the weed, and some fell among good soil. But the sower didn't stop sowing. He sowed indiscriminately to whosoever. And some received it. And it produced something in it. 60 and 100-fold. You know what is so encouraging about that parable? There's nothing wrong with the seed. There's nothing wrong with the seed.
I want to declare to you there's nothing wrong with the gospel. There's nothing wrong with the gospel. It's good news. It is the power of God unto salvation for whoever believes. There's nothing wrong with the gospel. That's the first thing that's so powerful about this parable. But the second thing is, you know what? Who made the seed grow? The sower? No. It's not your responsibility to make somebody believe. You just have to share it. You just have to sow the seed. It takes a lot of pressure off you to understand it is not your responsibility to make the seed grow. It is between them and God. And whenever you sow that seed, there is a power. The Holy Spirit that came to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Every time you sow that seed, it's the Holy Spirit. Every time you share the gospel, somebody has an opportunity to respond to a conviction that will come. Whether they admit it or not, there will be a conviction, a powerful force that gives them an opportunity to accept salvation. It's not your responsibility. Our responsibility is simply to sow the seed. And for some of us, the privilege of then seeing that seed produce. But we've been called to sow the seed. There's nothing wrong with the seed. It's good news. And you have been called, approved, entrusted. To be like the sower. I want to end over this saying that the gospel is good news. It's virtuous, it's noble, it's upright, it's worthy, it's helpful, it's beneficial, it's reliable, it's trustworthy. It's useful, effective, excellent, enjoyable, pleasant, satisfactory, delightful, lovely, wonderful, valuable. It's forgiveness, restoration, deliverance, healing, acceptance, peace, love, joy, abundance, kindness, goodness, gentleness. It is life worth living. It is a path to eternal life. The gospel is a path to eternal life. It is salvation. The gospel leads us to God. It leads man to God. When are you going to share that amazing news? Amen. And do you know why? Because the gospel is motivated by love. Because God is love. By this the world will know that we are His disciples if we love one another. You know what? If you share the gospel in love and not in condemnation. I've nothing against people that are willing to stand at a street corner with a megaphone. But so many times when I hear them, I hear hell and destruction and condemnation and death. And I'm not denying that that is a reality, but the way it's communicated doesn't come across as if it's love. But we'll get to that next week. But Are you willing to take this good news that the world is so desperate for? It's like having the antidote to HIV in your pocket, walking through the hospital with dying people. Are you willing to share that?
I want to end off with Mark 16 that says, and Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Romans 10 says something powerful. Here from verse 13. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet those who preach the gospel of peace, who brings glad tidings of good things. You have been approved and entrusted with that message. Are you willing to share it? Let us pray. Father, I want to thank you for your great love towards us, that you gave us your Son. While we were still enemies, God, were we still trapped in our sinfulness, in our shame, in our guilt. And in the consequence of that, God, you saw us and you loved us. And you gave your Son to stand on our behalf, to take upon all our sin, all our shame, all our guilt, and you punished him. The punishment that we deserved, you placed upon him, so that we may have life and freedom, acceptance, that we can come to you knowing that you love us. That we can exhale, know that we have peace with God. And that there is nothing that can separate us from your love. And that in that relationship we find restoration, healing, deliverance, life, identity, hope, a future, and peace, and joy, and goodness, and kindness, and gentleness, and self-control, and all the things that this world values, needs so desperately. God, we want to thank you for our salvation, but God, we also want to acknowledge today that we realize that with that, your heart longs that we would share it with those around us that are so desperate for it. While we are still praying, I really believe God is asking this morning if we are willing to share that what we have been approved and entrusted with to the world around us. And if you are willing, I want you just to respond to God. Say, God, I want to thank you for my salvation, God, but I'm willing to take this good news and share it with somebody. God, I pray that you will show me in this week somebody, God, that you will give me an opportunity, God, that you will teach me. God, I am willing. I don't know how, God, and I'm not confident, God, and I'm a bit fearful, Lord, but I am willing, God. I'm willing for you to teach me, to empower me, to be that witness, an angel, an angelos of the gospel. If that is you, I just want you to raise your hand before God. I'm not going to call you forward. I want you to respond to God. I just want you to act. Say, God, yes, here I am, God. I want to be
a messenger. I want to take what you have entrusted with me, God, and I want to share it, God. I want to share it to your glory. God, I want to be part of the power of God unto salvation. God, I want to not just be a messenger, but also see the power of God through the message. God, I want to experience the power of God with me as I share the message. If that is you, God, Lord, I want to pray for each and every hand, each and every heart, Lord, in this place, God. And I want to do as you commanded, Lord. I want to send them, God. I want to send them in the name of Jesus, God. I want to send them from this place with the gospel in their heart, Lord, and the willingness to share it as shoes on their feet, God. Lord, I want to pray that you will anoint them, God. I want to pray that you will send your Spirit to empower them to be witnesses, God. That you will fill them with all power and wisdom, Lord. That you will give them the words to speak, God, as their heart is expectant to be used by you, Lord. And I pray for the gospel to go from this place, Lord, into many hearts, into many fields. Lord, I pray for sowers to go, Lord, with seed, scattering it everywhere in the whole world to every creature, Lord. Just sowing seed, Lord, so that the lost can be found and saved, Lord. God, we want to give you the glory for every testimony that will go through from this place with love. And God, we want to pray for a harvest in Jesus' name. Amen.